Thank you everyone for joining today's discussions, our session. If Sigmund Freud would have read this verse, he would have confirmed that yes, my conclusion of his entire theory that human existence is there only for lust, but fortunately he hasn't read it. So let's continue our today's discussion. This is the, if we try to get the context of this, this is Sandhyakal, it's evening, and we are discussing this in the morning. So every transition is always a sacred hour, Sandhyakal, or when morning to afternoon, afternoon to evening, evening to night, it's all the these are all the prahar, it is called as 8 hours, and it is always sacred. In that, it is subdivided into 4 hours. And in that Sandhyakal, there is a specific instruction given in our Shastra. What are we supposed to do and what are we not supposed to do? So those who are from the traditional Indian families, they may remember that during evening time or those transition times, our parents or our grandfathers, they used to tell us, don't lie down, don't do this, don't do that. And then you're supposed to light a lamp in the evening and chant certain prayers, Shantakaram Bhujagashayanam Megavaranam Shubhamam. Some people will chant Shubham Karoti Kalyanam and all that. So like that, it's a specific time. Then some people chant Ram Raksha, some people chant some other stotras, and that's how the tradition is. Some people may say it's just a part of the culture. No, it's not just part of the culture. It is there given in the Shastra that what are we supposed to do and what is forbidden there. At this point of time, Diti, she's a very one of the 13 wives of Kashyapa Muni. She's overwhelmed by the lusty desires, daughter of Daksha, and she's approaching her husband not for this what are we supposed to do's and don'ts, not for any philosophical details or not for any yajna or any spiritual instruction, but she's asking for the union. And this section, famously known as the conception of demons in this particular part of the Bhagavatam, because of the untimely union between Kashyapa Muni and Diti. Later on, there will be a discussion about what is the reason behind it, who are all the personalities who are around there. I remember someone telling us that he was lying down and in the evening time, and perfectly healthy person, everything was fine, and suddenly he started getting different vibes. He could see, he felt bit unwell, and there were different types of vibrations. And he looked at the door and he saw certain entities there, and those were Yamadutas. And he's from Britain, local British person. And then later on, when he joined the movement, when he came across a description of Yamadutas, then things, he could join the dots. It was wrong time. So that's one of the prime reasons that we are not supposed to lie down in the evening time. Why we are supposed to chant the prayers during the transition time. Not that everyone will see Yamadutas if they are lying down in the evening. That's not the point here. But that's basically the do's and don'ts from our Shastra. Srila Prabhupada gives a very important point here, how that something which we are not supposed to do at certain point of time, and what impels us to do these sinful acts. Arjuna asks that in 3.37 in Bhagavad Gita. Athakena prayuktoyam papam charati purushaha anichchanna pivashneya baladi vaniyojitaha. He's asking the question, O descendant of Rishni, by what is one impelled of sinful acts, even unwillingly, as if engaged by force? Most of us have had this question in our mind, even before coming to this movement, that I didn't want to do it, but it happened. What is the reason behind it? And without any background, or without giving any wrapper, Krishna gives straight to the point answer. Kama esha krodha esha rajoguna samudbhavah mahashano mahapatma viddeham ihavairinam. He says that it is lust only, O Arjun, which is born of contact with material mode of passion and later transformed into wrath, which is all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. And later in text 40, Lord gives the even further details, the very deeper insight, 40 and 41. But before that, Srila Prabhupada gives in the very important insight in the purport of verse number 37, Kama Esha Krodha Esha. So, I found that that particular certain statements from Srila Prabhupada's purport very, very insightful, very powerful. The origin of everything is Supreme Brahma. Therefore, the origin of lust is also in Supreme, he says in the purport. If, therefore, lust is transformed into love for the Supreme, or transformed into Krishna consciousness, or in other words, desiring everything for Krishna, then both lust and wrath can be spiritualized. Example, Hanuman and Arjun exhibited their wrath in the service of the Lord, and they became glorious. Therefore, lust and wrath, when they are employed in Krishna consciousness, they become our friend instead of enemies. Sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Uddhared Atmanatmanam, Na Atmanam Avasadayet. Atmayo, Atmayivayo Manobuddhir, Atmayivari Puratmanaha. So, in text 40, Lord gives very deeper insight of it. The senses, the mind and the intelligence are the sitting places of this lust. Through them, lust covers the real knowledge of the living entity and bewilders him. And in 41st verse, he says, therefore, O Arjun, best of Bharatas, it is in the very beginning, curb this great symbol of sin, lust, by regulating the senses and slay this destroyer of knowledge and of self-realization. Prabhupada here explains very, very important. He emphasizes that the point. Lust is not insignificant. It is mahashanaha, all-devouring. Because it sits in the senses, it sits in the mind, and it sits in the intelligence. So you can imagine, senses, mind and intelligence, they're covered or they're influenced by lusty desires. What will happen? And this is what we are discussing today. Diti is inflicted by this all-devouring enemy. And here she describes, you know, how when the senses are influenced by this, how intelligence gives the right wording to influence the person opposite. If it's a man, then how he will tell this to a woman, or vice versa. So here Diti describes herself as Abala. Abala means helpless. Bala means power. Abala, I'm helpless, I'm distressed. And this is remarkable. Who is Diti? She's daughter of Daksha Prajapati. Very powerful, very learned personality. She's very cultured. She's the wife of great Rishi, Kashyap Muni. And still, she is inflicted with this desire. It's a psychological emergency that she's asking for. So what is the key lesson? What is the key takeaway for us? It's your education, the culture, the lineage, spiritual background is it gets sidelined when this all-devouring enemy starts taking control. The famous example is elephant and banana plantation. Banana plants, as all of you must have seen, they look very tall and powerful, but they are very fragile. And elephant loves bananas. When elephant goes in the banana plantation, he will eat hardly anything, and he will make a complete chaos, the mess there. Lust will do something similar. Person will talk nonsense, act nonsense, and then it will result in frustration, wrath, as we were talking about. So Diti is addressing Kashyap Muni here as Grahapati, the master of the house. In Vedic culture, husband is not just a partner. In the Western world, if we are always a bit hesitant to say, is he your husband? Because people think that, no, partner is the right word. But that's not the Vedic culture, isn't it? Husband is the Grahapati, he's the master, he's the protector. He protects from whom? From the right, he gives the right culture, not from the external things like thieves and enemies and hunger and all that. That's external. But he brings the right culture. He is supposed to satisfy the legitimate desires. He should prevent the mental disturbance in the house. And the most important, lead towards the God consciousness. What's the famous verse Srila Prabhupada quotes in his lectures quite regularly? Gurur na sasyat, swajano na sasyat, pita na sasyat, janani na sasyat, daivam na tasyan, na patishcha sasyan, moche, na moche yedhyaha samupeta mrityam. One who cannot deliver his dependents from the path of repeated birth and death should never become a spiritual master. Gurur na sasyat. A father, a husband, a mother, or a worshipable demigod. And here, in today's context, there is a Kashyapa knows that the time is forbidden. He is not supposed to act in this way. This reveals the deeper truth. The Grahastha Ashrama is not for indulgence. It is for the regulated life. Because most of the people in this world, they are following Grahastha Ashrama. Very few are wearing saffron. So Kashyap is caught between compassion for his wife, but at this end, he knows he should obey the cosmic law. And he understands the danger of untimely action, the importance of sandhya, and what are we supposed to do at the sandhya time. We briefly talked about those who had their upanayan sanskar. We'll come to that, because today is a very auspicious day. Appearance day of Srila Gopalgattu Bhatta Goswami, and we'll talk about it little more. So what are the regulations? Person is supposed to chant Gayatri, do the meditation, and worship as per their traditions or whatever path they are following. The time is forbidden for what? Any kind of sexual union, sleeping, lying down, or anything. And eating. So evening time is not a right time for eating when there is a transition happening. Why? What's the reason? Because these times are for cosmic injunctions, cosmic junctions. Diti's desire here, she ignores all these aspects. What are the three main important points here? Time, kala, she's ignoring that. Second point she's ignoring is law. Which is law of this material nature, defined and designed by the Supreme Lord, which is dharma, And a third part she's ignoring is a phala, the consequence. What is the result? And that's the reason Lord says, Mahashano Mahapatma. In this modern application, we live in a civilization that teaches us, if you want, just do it. And let's see whatever the consequences are. We will manage it. Exactly opposite is the Vedic literature. Why are we supposed to be learning things from the childhood about the rules and regulations? Srila Prabhupada was emphasizing on making the Varnashram Dharma as the prime goal of the in the society. That's because that famous verse where in Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Bhagwan ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Gaur Nitai ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. And the once in the sanskar, the person is supposed to follow learning of the Vedic literature or the rules and regulations. What is the verse? It is in Skanda Puran as well as in Vedanta Sutra, with little bit of difference in the composition. Janmana jayate shudra samskarat dvija uchyate or bhavet dvija vedabhyasa pathet vipra. What that means is, the person should be scholar. The person should learn Vedabhyas, Pathet Vipra, and come to the stage of Vipra. And then comes the following penances and austerities. That is, Brahma Janati Iti Brahmanyam. Awareness of, this shows, it brings us the social maturity, the intellectual maturity, and you can imagine how the society will be if the person knows what are the regulations. Here Kashyap Muni is saying, I will satisfy your desire, but wait for a few moments. Actually, the muhurta is ideally 48 minutes. But in this particular context, you can see there is not much time left to complete that, to finish that muhurta. And she is not ready, she is not interested in listening. Kashyap Muni, what it shows when he says that, but wait for a few moments, and I will, so I'm not reproached. This shows that he's aware of the social decorum. This shows that he has a complete recognition of his duty. And yet, still, a compromise with desire. In yesterday's Shyamhari Prabhu's discussion, he has given quite elaborate details of how husband can never fully repay the wife's sacrifices and the gratitude, how it is essential in relationship. This mirrors devotional life. Just as the husband cannot repay his wife, the soul cannot repay the Supreme Lord, what we have got. The gratitude is a very, very important aspect, what we have been discussing in this part. There is a lot to learn from these verses, actually. Even a slight concession to desire at the wrong time can have cosmic consequences. So what are the consequences and practical lessons? What could have been avoided? If Diti had waited for a few hours, history was different. Would have been different. Patience is not passive. It's a spiritual strength. That's important takeaway for all of us. Practically, desires must be regulated, not indulged. Second, timing matters in spiritual life. Duty must override impulse. And shelter should be higher, not in the lower modes. Diti sought shelter in her husband for sense gratification. We are encouraged to seek shelter in the scriptures, in the holy name, in the Lord. So, in summary, what we have, it's the takeaway from this, or the reflection. Lust is powerful and deceptive. Regulation is protection, not repression. Even saints can fall down. when time and discipline are ignored, and desire satisfied wrongly produces sufferings. So now we will come to today's important point. It's an auspicious day, the appearance day of one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami. We may not get enough time, otherwise there is a lot more to compare from Ramayana, Mahabharata and Chaitanya Leela. It's amazing how these great personalities who always remained behind the curtains, never came in limelight, but they have contributed phenomenally in the human civilizations. Examples I'll just briefly touch upon. From Ramayana, if we all know the glories of three brothers, Ram, Lakshman and Bharat. But the fourth brother, if we try to understand his contribution, it's exceptional, Shatrughna. In those 14 years, Bharat was in Nandigram. He was just living that austere life. Lakshman and Ram were in Vanvas. They were in following their dharma. Who was actually managing the entire kingdom? Shatrughna. There are six women at home who have different moods. The whole kingdom would have been in anarchy if there was no one, because if there is no king, if there is no proper administration, kingdom can have serious problems. He was making sure that all citizens are looked after properly. And still, when Lord Ram came, who was the first person who went in at the front? Vasishtha Muni. And then later on, Bharat with the Paduka of the Lord. Shatrughna was not to be seen so easily, not very conspicuous. In Mahabharata, one person is hardly discussed is Yudhishthira. He received a lot of love from Duryodhan, from Dhritarashtra. He was a Dasiputra. And when time came that what is right and what is wrong, he was very clear and he stood up when Draupadi was getting insulted, when Pandavas were not treated properly. He was the one who was vehemently saying, no, you are wrong. Even if, despite of him receiving all the favorable situations, Gandhari looked after him very nicely. But still, when the Mahabharata war started, he was fighting against Kauravas. He was fighting for Pandavas. He changed the side. But still, at the same time, he performed all the last rites of all the Kauravas. And when Parikshit Maharaj was coronated, who was the person who was actually dealing with all the requirements of how to manage the kingdom? Because Parikshit Maharaj was a lot young. He was a younger child. So that was Yudhishthira. And when time came, he timely retired and went to the forest. So we don't see those glorifications. And similar is the personalities in Chaitanya Leela. One of them is Gopal Bhatta Goswami. He was born in Srirangam in South India. His father's name was Venkata Bhatta. He was a head priest of Ranganath Temple, and young Gopal grew up immersed in scriptures, very disciplined. And his worship, you know, if you have visited the South Indian temples, especially the Sri Vaishnava's temples, their style of worship is very, very strict. During the Chaturmasya time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed at the home of the head priest of that, of Srirangam temple, Venkata Bhatta, the father of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. When Gopal Bhatta Goswami saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was just overwhelmed with those devotional emotions, and he served the Lord very very diligently, very properly. And after 4 months, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was about to leave the house, Srirangam, Gopal Bhatta was devastated. Now, who is my shelter? And that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed him, go to Vrindavan, study the Bhagavatam, and establish proper devotional standards. Once you have served your parents properly, till that time, learn all the Vedic scriptures properly. Under whom he did that? Prabodhananda Saraswati, his uncle. So there were three brothers. Young, older brother was the father of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Venkata Bhatta. Second was, I think, Tirumala Bhatta. And the third one was Prabodhananda Saraswati. Prabodhananda Saraswati was a scholar, profound scholar. So under him, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he learned all the Vedic scriptures. He became a very scholar. But he's known for three things: extremely rigid. No, I shouldn't say rigid is not a right word. Strict in personal conduct, very careful about time, cleanliness, and rules of worship, because that's the lineage he is from. And he's known for his deep humility and self-restraint. He would not accept the disciples very easily unless they follow the standards very properly. He avoided fame. And the third part, he feared deviation more than difficulty. In today's context, in today's verse, we are discussing this directly contrasts with Diti's inability to wait even for a short time. Diti succumbed to kama. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami exemplified niyama, the regulations, an act of love. Important point which we have to come to is the gift of Sri Radharaman. When he was worshipping the Govindadev, the deity established by Rupa Goswami, but he had a strong desire to worship his own personal deity. And that time he was asked by Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami to travel towards north to Gandaki River and get his own Shaligram Shila. He went and he had, I think, 12 or 15 Shaligram Shila. And he felt that he's not qualified to install the deity out of his humility. So he possessed 12 sacred Shaligram Shilas. Shaligram Shila has the most common one you get is a Sudarshan Shila, and then others are Narsinha Shila, and then many others. So out of that 12 sacred, he was worshipping, and one of the Shaligram Shila, which was quite big, on the Narsinha Chaturdashi day, after the intense prayer, one of the Shaligram Shilas that opened and manifested the exquisite deity of Sri Radharaman without any external installation. So, what this teaches us, when desire is purified and regulated, the Lord Himself manifests, He responds. What is His contribution to Vaishnava Siddhanta? I'll finish in few minutes. He is the principal contributor to the book of rules and regulations, Haribhakti Vilas. He established the standards of Vaishnava behavior, etiquettes, what we follow in our mentorship system, worship, and samskaras. Here, Haribhakti Vilas is very elaborate, very detailed, but he composed another book called Satkriya Saradipika, which describes the samskaras, preliminary rituals of fire sacrifice and purificatory rituals for household ashramas. Following the Vedic tradition, he does not, because the tradition he came from, that particular composition does not include the sanskaras of funerals and shraddha. It's only up to the vivaha samskar, garbhadan samskar, and then all others, except the funerals and shraddha performance. He has written a commentary on Krishna Karnamrit. Another point, a lot of times we don't realize, is the Sat Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami's magnum opus. Actually, the notes were written by Srila Gopala Bhatta Goswami. And then Jiva Goswami took those notes and he elaborated on that and he created all six Sandarbhas, Sat Sandarbha. So the original notes were written by Gopal Bhatta Goswami. He initiated prominent acharyas. The first book distribution started after his instruction, Srinivas Acharya. We know all the story of that king who stole the cart full of books, and then all were initiated by Srinivas Acharya. But the original instruction came from Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Haribhakti Vilas, which is his contribution, talks about when to act, how to act, and what not to do. And this is the exact lesson in today's context. Kashyap Muni tried, but failed to uphold perfectly. So that's the connection. Because it's an appearance day of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, I had a temptation to compare the two personalities. Both are great, but that gives us some understanding that do's and don'ts, regulations from our scriptures need to be followed very diligently. Diti could not wait for a few hours, whereas Gopal Bhatta Goswami waited for years, lifetimes, without demanding anything from the Lord, from Krishna. One path produced Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, and second path produced Sri Radharaman. That's the, I think our time is up. On this auspicious appearance day of Srila Gopala Bhatta Goswami, let's extend our prayers to give us the strength, regulate our desires, his personification of humility to wait for Lord's mercy, and the intelligence to choose devotion over impulse. So, are there any, I don't think we have enough time for questions, but are there any questions or comments? We'll stop here.
I was remembering in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about the different timings at which passing from this world we either return or don't return. And then after that, he says the devotees are not concerned about these different timings because they know that the Lord will take them back to Godhead, whether they pass in the light or in the dark. So I was wondering how much the devotees should be concerned about doing different things during the sandhya, like for example, sleeping. Sometimes the sun sets at like 10 p.m. here, so the sandhya would be like, you know, during that time. So should we like stay awake waiting for the sandhya, or should we just, you know, go to bed early so we could wake up fresh for Mangalarti?
Regulations are very important here. That once our timings are set, for example, we do our Gayatri at 7 o'clock. So that's what the instruction from acharyas is, and that's what we are supposed to follow. Now, this is, if we go to the technicalities of, then in Norway people won't be able to do anything probably. So setting the timings for our sadhana is very important, and that's what our acharyas have given. Srila Prabhupada has given a clear instruction. Institutionalization is very important in any sampradaya, and that's what our acharyas have given us, and that's what my input to your question can be. Is there anyone else who would like to give some ideas about her question? Because till we have reached to the point of that, from Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti to Raganuga Bhakti and all, we will have to follow the regulations, the laws of this material world. And that's what the Shastra is telling us. If we call ourselves devotees, then we need to read what are the qualities of devotee. So we are all aspiring to be a devotee. Calling ourselves devotees, I'm not sure. That's what I can think of. Any other? Is that okay, Mataji? Any other questions or inputs or comments?
Yes. So is this applicable to all the yonis or just like particular? Because when you're talking about Kashyap and Dites, it's a different this, right?
All human species, yes, it is applicable to.
But these days nobody follows anything, so how does
that's,
it...
That's the reason we have this movement, that what to follow, what not to follow, what to... what are our daily regulations, and that's the reason institutionalization of our daily life, what are the rules. If you go across any ISKCON temple in the world, we follow certain pattern that Mangalarti, Shrungararti, then Doparti, Madhyanarti, and all. And then we are supposed to chant in the morning, read the scriptures, even when someone takes initiation, Diksha, then what are the regulative principles of that? So that's essential.
Because then it's part of Varna Sankar also, isn't it? Is this?
Yeah, as per the Kali Yuga, it is Kalau Shudra Sambhava. So we all are Shudras. Though someone is born in certain culture of Brahminical or Kshatriya culture, but still, how many people are following the regulations? So that's the reason we need to have the understanding of Shastra, do's and don'ts. And Upadeshamrut specifically gives us very clear details of what is good and what is bad. Starting from the first verse. So,
thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Quite a large topic. I mean, if it you is, to it just is. Get into...
It's very elaborate, yeah. That's the reason we are supposed to study the scriptures elaborately. Under the
thank
guidance.
You.
Okay, in parampara. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami ki jai.